I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I'll pay you my vows, those that my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fatlings. With the smoke of the sacrifice of rams, I'll make an offering of bulls and goats. Praise the Lord. Dear friends, I was reading as an introductory prayer from Psalm 66, verses 13, 14, and 15. These verses speak about sacrifices. A devotee is promising to the Lord that he is coming to offer sacrifice. We are discussing the religious situation of Palestine in the time of Jesus, and we have been seeing the leadership and the temple, which were the center of this religiosity. Today we would like to focus our attention on two particular aspects of this religion. One is sacrifice, and the other is the feasts or festivals, the time when the sacrifices are being offered. And we will conclude our reflections presenting the attitude of Jesus and the sacrifices. Now, sacrifice was a very important activity in the religious life of the people of Israel. Not only of Israel, but of every people. Every religion have their own attitudes, their own sacrifices, and somehow more elaborate, somehow more simple sacrifices. And the reason why people offer sacrifice also differs. It is alleged that the beginnings of sacrifice comes from fear of natural forces. People who were afraid of earthquakes or droughts or storms or thunderbolts, all such natural phenomena that threatened the very existence of human life, were considered by primitive people as the expression of the wrath of gods. And many believe that in the beginning there were not monotheism but polytheism, believed in many gods. It is still disputed whether polytheism or belief in many gods is prior to monotheism, belief in one god, or the other way around. That is not a point I want to discuss now, but among many people this kind of attitude was present. And we see from the primitive mythology, primitive writings and practices of other people that many considered gods to be immoral and sometimes even immoral, punishing the people for apparently no reason whatsoever. So these immoral deities have to be placated, appeased of their unreasonable wrath. And how do they appease the deities? By giving them something that they like. And what do they like? The people thought that gods are like men and women, and they like what people like. So good food and drinks and things like that. So the sacrifices were somehow turning around such offering of meals, a full meal. People who were non-vegetarian, of meat-eating people, they offered also of flesh and blood and fat to the gods. People who were not meat eaters, vegetarians, they offered only vegetables to the gods. So this way might have been the beginning of sacrifices. So one reason of sacrifices was to placate the angry deity. Another reason was to please the gods and get some favor from them. So as people are used to please the leaders and chieftains and kings and princes by offering them bribes, which is not very uncommon for us today also, trying to please the leaders by bribing them, So they thought they could bribe the gods and get some favor from them. And very often, even today, in many of the religions, religious sacrifices and offerings and votive offerings and vows are considered as a bribe given to God. We'll come to it a bit later. So these were the two reasons people somehow offered sacrifices. What about the Israelites? We see also in Israel various types of sacrifices. For example, God himself had asked Abraham to offer a sacrifice. And that was his only son, only begotten son, beloved son, Isaac. God wanted Abraham to offer as a holocaust, a whole burnt offering. In fact, God did not allow Abraham to carry out this project of killing his son. What God was asking was total surrender. So the God of Bible, the God of the Israelites, Yahweh, or whatever name you call him, was not an immoral God. It's a God with a moral will. And what God wants for the people is not some object, an objective sacrifice, but obedience to his will. And this we see also in the cutting of the covenant. So in fact, in establishment of the covenant, they call the cutting of the covenant, because the covenant is instituted and ratified by cutting animals into two and placing these divided pieces over against each other. And the parties who enter into the covenant hold hand in hand and walk in between these cut pieces. So this is why they call to cut a covenant. Karat berit, they call it, to cut the covenant. Abraham was asked to offer a sacrifice of that kind. And in the evening, when the night fell, he saw a torch passing through the cut pieces of the animals. And Abraham realized that it was God who was passing through. So here again, it's not to placate an angry deity, not to obtain a particular favor from a deity, but to express one's own surrender to that deity's will. So this is what the sacrifice of Abraham, be it of Isaac or be it of the covenant, meant. The same thing happens in the book of Exodus. Chapter 24, the book of Exodus speaks about the covenant being ratified by sprinkling the blood of the slaughtered bulls on the tablets of the commandments, on the altar of sacrifice, and also on the people. In such a way, God, his written express will, and the people are sprinkled by the same sacrificial blood, showing that they enter into a relation of blood with each other. Now, this was the type of sacrifice, and God has asked people to give, to offer sacrifices, and there are many, many chapters. The entire book of Leviticus speaks about the sacrifices. And for example, the book of Numbers, chapter 28 and 29, speak about the various types of sacrifices, etc. Now, we come to the different types of sacrifices. According to the material of offering sacrifice, the sacrifice can be divided like this. You have the animal sacrifice. Animals such as bull, sheep, goat, lamb, birds, etc. were offered in sacrifice. They are blood, meat, fat, all these were offered in sacrifice. There were the cereal offerings, the grain and flour. You had the liquids that is being offered, oil and wine. And perfumes also were offered in sacrifice. So these were the different materials that were being offered. It can be considered as a full meal or as a surrender of everything that one has received from God. And now coming to the mode of offering, also various types of sacrifices were present. The first and most important sacrifice is the whole burnt offering, or the holocaust. You call it the ola. Ola means to ascend, to rise up. It is believed that the animal that is totally burnt on the offer, on the sacrificial altar, rises up in smoke to the presence of God. And with this, the person for whom this offering is made also rises to God's presence. That is rising up. So this offering is somehow symbolized and later fulfilled in Jesus being raised on the cross, and where the last drop of his blood was shed the olam, the whole burnt offering. Then you have the burnt offerings. Victim is partially burnt on the altar and partially consumed. A part of the sacrificial animal is given to the devotee who offers the sacrifice, and the rest is the right of the offering officiating priest. By this, and this sacrificial meat has to be eaten in the sacred precincts of the temple. By this it is presumed or understood that a relationship of reconciliation and friendship is being established between God, between the priest and the people. Or through the mediation of the priest, a reconciliation is being established between God and people. So this is a meal offering, participating at the same table, God and people. And this is what we realize in the sacrifice of Jesus. He took the bread, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which will be given up for you." So Jesus instituting the Eucharistic sacrifice and offering his own body and blood as food and drink is somehow fulfilling this meal offering of sacrifice of reconciliation. Then you have the libation pouring out. When the blood is being poured out on the altar, as far as the bulls and lambs are concerned, there will be plenty of blood. That the blood will be splashed over the foot of the altar, and that splashed blood will flow down to the valley, and there will be collected, as we have already said. As for the birds, there isn't much blood that to flow, so the blood of the birds will be somehow sprinkled or spread on the horns of the altar. Then you have the oil that is being poured on the altar, on the cereal offering, and also the meat offering. Now, offering blood is presented as a surrender of life, because it is believed that blood is the seat of life. And there is a common practice that when the blood flows out of a person's body, that person dies. And by giving blood, a person can be resuscitated, or that we, even now, we know exactly what the blood donation means. So the blood is considered as the seat of life, and pouring out the blood is considered as a pouring out of one's life, a total surrender to God. Now, these are the modes of offering. Then we have the purpose. What for did they offer the sacrifice? It is not to placate an angry God. It's not to extract some unmerited gift from an unwilling God. The purpose of God, purpose of the sacrifice, is something else. The first is sin offering. It's a penance and asking for forgiveness. We have already seen that the pouring of the blood and burning up of the animal is somehow substituting the person who offers the sacrifice. Sin is a rebellion against God. Sin is a rejection of God. Sin is a self-affirmation over against God. To be like God, to be God's. So this is a denial of God, in fact. Now, with the sacrifice, what one does is, instead of the denial of God, he denies himself. Not I, but you are the important one. Lord, you are my master, you are my maker. Everything what I have, what I am, belongs to you. So here it is. I offer myself entirely. So this is how we get reconciled. So it's not an external act of offering something, but it is more important internal reconciliation, self-effacing. Not exactly humiliating, but accepting that reality of being a creature. That is the sin offering. And that is how you do penance for the sins. The second is a reconciliation. The broken relationship has to be reestablished. The purpose of the meal offering or the sacrifice of reconciliation. Reconciliation between God and people, between among people themselves. So the meal offering has the purpose of reconciliation. Peace offering, establishing peace between God and people in the society, in the community. Then we have the purpose, another purpose of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for the blessings one has received. And this could be a thanksgiving of the individual or thanksgiving of the community. When there is a national calamity, catastrophe, like invasion by foreign enemies, or earthquake or disastrous events that destroy the lives of the people, disturb the existence. The people come together, they make a vow, and when this passed, they offer thanksgiving to say, God, thank you. And this could be the national thanksgiving, a community thanksgiving sacrifice. It can be also individuals. Individuals who come to offer sacrifice. For example, the mother of Samuel, the prophet, Hannah, she made a vow. And the vow was this: if you give me a son, I shall surrender that son to the temple service, to your service. And true to her word, she brought her firstborn son, Samuel, and presented him at the temple with a thanksgiving offering. So thanksgiving for the favors received is not manipulating God's will. It's not squeezing something out of an unwilling hands of God. It is surrendering with freedom, with joy of a child to one's father. Then we have also the purpose of sacrifice, obtaining favor. They make a vow. If you give me this, I'll offer this and such a thing. It's a kind of surrendering again one's own will to God's will. As Jesus was saying, Father, if it is possible, everything is possible for you, remove this cup from me, but not as I will, but as you will. So this is a kind of vow. Jesus did not make a promise that I will do such and such a thing. He was offering his whole life. So these are the various purposes of offering sacrifices for special favors. That's one. And now, when did they offer? How often did they offer the sacrifice? First of all, we have the daily sacrifice, the morning and evening sacrifice. It is said the fire of the morning sacrifice should not be quenched before the evening sacrifice is offered, and the fire of the evening sacrifice shall be still burning when they offer the morning sacrifice, between 6 to 9 in the morning and between 3 and 6 in the evening they offer the daily sacrifice. Then we have the Sabbath, sacrifice of the Sabbath. Every Sabbath, besides the daily offering, they had special sacrifices to make. That is a weekly sacrifice. Then you have the monthly sacrifice on the first day of the month, the new moon day. Special sacrifices were to be offered. Then you have the various occasions, yearly festivals, to which we come immediately. So the festivals of the year. So these were the various times that the sacrifice were being offered. Besides these, there were also the voluntary sacrifices, the votive offerings that could be made on any day. Now we come to the main feasts of the people of Israel. The sacrifices were offered especially on major festivals, and pilgrimages were conducted during these major festivals. There were 7 major festivals being celebrated during the time of Jesus in Palestine, of which 3 were related to the Exodus event, and the other were related to some particular event or some particular purpose. By far the most important feast is the Feast of Passover, that remembered, reenacted the liberation of the people of Israel from that slavery in Egypt. And together with the crossing of the sea, they were also remembering the passing of the angel of extermination, who killed all the firstborns of the Egyptians, both humans and animals, whereas the Israelites were spared. So the passing over the houses of Israel, we had the Passover festival. That is the first Passover. And the second, you have the Pentecost. The Pentecost means the 50th day, and they were remembering, commemorating the establishment of the covenant, Sinai covenant. Initially, this was an agrarian festival, the beginning of the collecting of the grains and harvests, the harvest season. But when it is related to the Exodus, the Pentecost became the feast of the covenant establishment. Then we had the third feast, that is the Feast of the Tabernacles, that commemorated the journeys, the wanderings of the Israelites through the desert. The Israelites were living in tents. So during these 7 days of the Feast of the Tent, or the Sukkot, they call it, the people pitched their tents all around the city of Jerusalem, and they lived in the tents. These are the three major festivals that were related to the history of salvation. Then you have another feast, the Yom Kippur, or the day of forgiveness, the day of atonement, when the high priest was offering the sacrifice. That is the only day when he was obliged to offer sacrifice for the entire people, for the priests, and for himself, the Yom Kippur. Then we have the feast of dedication, which commemorated the dedication by Judas Maccabeus after purifying the temple that was desecrated by Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes. So the temple was consecrated, reconsecrated and dedicated, and this feast also was celebrated by the Israelites. Then finally, we have two more feasts, the feast of the first, the beginning of the year, the New Year feast, and then also the feast of Lots, or Purim. Purim means lots. And this, they remembered the liberation they received, obtained through the intercession or intervention of Queen Esther from the hands of the Persians. So these were the seven major festivals. Now come to the Jesus' attitude towards sacrifice and the festivals. Jesus had a totally different idea of sacrifice. It's not offering some material or things that are important, but the offering of the heart was important for Jesus. Here he was standing firmly footed in the prophetic tradition, especially Hosea 6:6. It's not a sacrifice that I want, but mercy. It's not burnt offering, but the knowledge of God that God wants. So Jesus is basing himself on the prophetic tradition and focusing attention on the heart. So what is to be given is obedience, not a few objects. And more important than this is the substitution of all the sacrifices with his own body. So the entire New Testament tells us that the true one sacrifice is the sacrifice of Jesus. John the Baptist had already pre-announced, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So Jesus was presented as the Lamb whose sacrifice was going to redeem the entire humanity. So Jesus is substituting himself for the entire humanity. He takes our place, and what we should have received as punishment, Jesus takes upon himself and gets reconciles us with the Father through his death, through his blood. So this is the essence of the New Testament Christology and theology. Jesus, by his death and by his shedding of blood, redeemed us and reconciled us to God. Everybody now is made, given the capacity, given the possibility of becoming a child of God. Now, this is what Jesus wants, a heart that is pure. And what we are expected is not so much an offering of some material objects, but a total surrender to God's will in our daily lives. And this life lived in accordance to God's commandments should reconcile us to the community, to our brothers and sisters, and above all, to God. And that is the sacrifice that we are offering every day. It was foretold by Malachi from the beginning to the end, from the morning to the evening, there will be a sacrifice being offered all throughout the world. And this one sacrifice of Jesus, which reconciled us with God, is not being repeated anymore, but reenacted. We are made to participate in this particular sacrifice of Jesus. That is being done in every Catholic church, every day, all over the world. And Jesus had said, told us, "Do this in memory of me." We are following his commandment. And this commandment is, "This is my body broken for you." So the body of Jesus broken for you has to be lived out in our daily lives. So this is being broken for the others. Not only breaking the bread, but breaking our lives and sharing with others. That is how we offer a true sacrifice. And Jesus had told the Samaritan woman that the true believers have to offer sacrifice in spirit and truth. And this is the sacrifice Jesus has given us. Now let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son, your only begotten Son, to reconcile us to you and to ourselves, to forgive our sins and to give us a new life. Jesus, we thank you for giving yourself as our food and drink and reconciling us with the Father. Enable us to understand the meaning of your sacrifice and the sacrifice we are offering every day to the Father. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.